This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We offer a heartfelt welcome to each of you from Christian Crusaders Radio Ministry. The Reverend Steve Kramer will be conducting our service today. Information on ordering a CD, cassette tape, or printed copy of today's sermon will follow the program. Thank you for listening today, and please come back again for worship with us.
Heavenly Father, here we are again to pray, praise, and listen. Some of us feel as if we're walking through a dark valley this past week, and others of us have experienced a mountaintop experience. We believe that you know all the details, and that you care about us, and that you're there with us. So we praise you for being our loving and caring Father today, and open our lives to your compassionate and healing touch once again. We ask only that you would feed us with your life-giving word. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from John's first letter that we find near the end of the Bible. It's chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Listen to these reassuring words that John gives these early Christians. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. Here ends the reading.
Thank you.
All of us have picked up a title or two along life's journey. It might be a title given to us, like Mr. or Mrs., Mom, Dad. Might be something we've earned, like doctor, professor, judge. I've had a few titles along the way. Myself, in 1965, I was named the most valuable player in Livingston, Montana's Little League Association, MVP. Around my community, I was known as Earl and Dolores Kramer's son. After I attended seminary and received my first call to Winona, Minnesota, I received another title, pastor. Now, the Apostle John wrote of another title that makes the others pale in comparison. When he wrote to these Christians in the early church, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." Notice that John points out that not only has God given us a title, but this title simply represents a new reality, as he states to emphasize this first statement, "and that is what we are." I've heard some people question, "Well, what's the big deal about that? Isn't everyone a child of God?" The answer to that is no. All of us have been created by God and are his creatures, but according to various witnesses in the New Testament, being a child of God has something to do with having a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. For instance, the Apostle Paul wrote in Galatians, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then an heir through Christ." The Apostle Peter wrote in one of his letters that we are to be obedient children of God, not conforming to our old desires before we knew Christ. And the Apostle John wrote in his gospel, as he described the coming of Jesus into the world, "He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of flesh or of the will of man, but of God." Now, where did John and Peter and even Paul get this notion that a person receives a special title, child of God, through a relationship with Jesus? Well, John, obviously, and Peter as well, learned that through Jesus himself. I remember even after the resurrection, Jesus, as he called to his disciples when they were out fishing, called to shore and said, "Children, have you caught anything?" Jesus himself had taught them for 3 years such things as how to pray. "When you pray, pray, 'Our Father.'" And Paul later on had this message passed on to him from these disciples. Now, how did this title come into being? John tells us that it is, first of all, a gift from God when he writes, "See what love the Father has given us." That "see what love" statement is meant to basically give us a picture of his love is out of this world. And he says he has given us, and it means literally in the Greek that he has lavished upon us. And what is that love? That love is his Son, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect, sinless life, who died upon a cross as a payment for your sins and mine. He took upon himself all my sinfulness and gave me all his righteousness as I placed my trust in him. And trusting in Jesus Christ, God now looks upon me as his son or his daughter. I remember a little story Stuart Briscoe wrote years ago in a book of his when he talked about his younger years when he was a banker. He writes, "Years ago, when I was a young banker, we used big leather ledgers where all accounts were entered by hand. I remember daydreaming about those ledgers and God's ledgers in heaven. We are told those books will be opened. I imagined my name, David Stuart Briscoe, and God adding up the sum total of my indebtedness against him. I could never cancel the overwhelming indebtedness. In my mind's eye, I saw God take his pen and transfer the sum total of my indebtedness to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the account of the Lord Jesus, he wrote, transferred from the account of David Stuart Briscoe. I thought God was finished, but then I saw him do something incredible. He added up the total righteousness of Christ and against it wrote these words, transferred to the account of David Stuart Briscoe. Now that is love. God sees me as he sees his son, Jesus Christ. The Apostle John then goes on to say, more than even that, he said, we are God's children now, but we have a hopeful future ahead of us. Beloved, he says, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this, when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we will see him as he is. Someone has noted that these first two verses of chapter 3 in John's letter celebrate the accomplishment of God's eternal purpose concerning humanity. That purpose finds full expression in Genesis 1:26, as God was about to create man, and he said, let us create man in our own image, in our likeness, perfect, without sin. That image was marred by humanity's fall into sin through disobedience. And then God, in his mercy, when the time was right, sent his son, the perfect man, into this world. He lived the life of a servant, emptying himself, ultimately dying upon a cross as the perfect sacrifice for my sin. And that image that had been marred by the fall has been stamped upon us, restored upon us once again through Jesus as we place our trust in him. And John remarks, we're God's children now. But one day, we'll see him face to face. And when we see him face to face, we will be like him. The image will be totally restored. The Apostle Paul writes that God is right now is in the business of conforming us to the image of his son. We're under construction. I like what Billy Graham's wife Ruth once said. She wrote, I saw a sign on a strip of highway once that I would like to have copied on my gravestone. End of construction. Thank you for your patience. That's what's happening in us. Living as God's child on this planet means a couple of important things. First of all, that I'm known and I'm loved by my Heavenly Father. I'm loved like Christ his Son is loved. I'm honored like Christ is honored. Years ago, I heard a story told by Brennan Manning. He talked about a friend of his was a priest in Detroit. The man's name was Ed Farrell. He traveled back to Ireland to participate in his oldest uncle's 80th birthday celebration. On the morning of the big day, he and his uncle, whose name was Seamus, went for a walk down by Lake Killarney to watch the sun rise. They dressed in silence. As they walked along the shores, they stopped then finally to watch the sunrise. Standing side by side with not a word exchanged and staring straight at the rising sun, the uncle turned and went skipping down the road. He was radiant, beaming, smiling from ear to ear. Ed said, Uncle Seamus, you really look happy. I am, lad. Want to tell me why? And his 80-year-old uncle replied, yes. You see, my father, my heavenly father, is very fond of me. You know, we read about how God loves us, but have you ever stopped to actually think that your Heavenly Father is mighty fond of you? I was talking with a friend this week who's taking care of her dying sister, and it's been hard. And she commented to me, "I don't know where I'd be without the strength of my Father, my Heavenly Father, who I turn to each day." You're not just a number in the phone book to God. He loves you, and He's awfully fond of you. And not only that, John reminds us that as His child, I am His forever. Someday I'll see Him, and I'll be like Him. I belong to Him forever, and not even death can separate me from His love or snatch me from His strong hand. There was a wonderful preacher in the Lutheran Church years ago who wrote a devotional book that I used for a while. His name was Al Rognes. There was a story in there that I cut out for a moment, such as this, that captures what John is saying here. Listen in. In the foothills of Montana's Rockies, a little stream is born. It trickles its fitful path down the hillsides and flows into the plains. Growing broader and deeper, it becomes a river, the Missouri. Montana says, "River, you're mine." But on it flows, declining to be cradled long by its parent state. Coursing on through the sister Dakotas, it hears again the claim, "River, you're ours." Heedless, it pushes on, angling its way between Nebraska and Iowa, but not before each of these neighbors has reached out for possession. "River, you're mine." But like a restless eel, it slips away, down to join the great father of waters, the Mississippi. And as it flows, within that, the larger Mississippi says, "At last you've come to me, now you're mine." Still, it flows silently on. At last its currents become slower, fuller, until down into the great Gulf of Mexico, it comes to rest in the bosom of the ocean. In the rhythmic heaving of the deep, it hears the ocean's whisper, "River, you're mine. You've always been mine. It was I who sent the storm clouds into the mountains to give you birth. It was I who pulled you steadily, irresistibly, away from all others back to me. From me you came, to me you return. Only I can really say, you're mine." Into a home, a little girl is born. Bending tenderly over the cradle, a mother whispers, "Baby, you're mine." The years go on, and soon the baby has become a lady, and a lover takes her by the hand, and a deeper voice echoes the mother's whisper, "Sweetheart, you're mine." Then one day she stands looking into the deep eyes of her own baby, and her mother ears seem to catch the unspoken claim of her child, "Mother, you're mine." But the years refuse to linger, and all too soon her hair becomes silver. Life grows fuller, deeper, slower, and one day she glides through the narrows into eternity's ocean. There, in the bosom of her Heavenly Father, she hears the voice of God, "My child, you're mine. You've always been mine. It was I who gave you life. It was I who drew you through my redeeming love, through my Son Jesus. Drew you away from all others, back to myself. From me you came, to me you return. Only I can really say, you're mine. You're mine. We belong to Him forever." Why do you suppose John shared these lovely words with those early Christians? If you read the whole letter, you see, you'll find words like beloved and my little children. And you soon discover that John's letter is revealing a pastor's heart, reaching out to some people he really cares about, who are experiencing some creeping doubts in their minds. Life had kind of beaten them up. There were people that were causing them to have second thoughts. And they were in need of reassurance. Life's twists and turns and ups and downs has a way of doing that to every one of us, even as children of God. John's purpose is found in that very first word of this chapter, see. See what love the Father has given us. It's an appeal. I'm appealing to you to see this, to catch a glimpse of it, the image of God's love for you. Hold on to it and treasure it. Consider it each day. Remember it. When you're wondering whether to pray or not as you're facing a circumstance in life, remember, you're a child of God and your Father's mighty fond of you. Martin Luther wrote in a small catechism that when Jesus taught us to pray our Father in heaven, he was teaching us to believe that God is truly our Father and we are his children. We therefore are to pray to him with complete confidence, just as children speak to their loving Father. You keep coming to your heavenly Father in all of life's circumstances. He's mighty fond of you. Remember it as a child of God, drive past the cemetery and are reminded of your own mortality. Or you're lying in a hospital bed with wires and tubes running into you and out of you and you're wondering that maybe this is the end. You're a child of God. You're only walking through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to see Jesus face to face. The first funeral I ever presided at was for an elderly man named Willard Benson. I was asked to sing an old gospel hymn that was a favorite of his. I'd never heard of it, but I learned it and have continued to love it and keep it in my heart. And it captures what John is encouraging us as children of God to keep in mind as we face death. It goes like this. Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more of him shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child. I know that the light of his presence with me doth continually dwell. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am.
I think of my blessed Redeemer, for I cannot be silent, his love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love.
Father, through your Son, you've shown the light of your truth to those in darkness. We thank you for your amazing love that you've lavished upon us through Christ's suffering and death and his resurrection. There are no human words that can fully describe the depths of your goodness and grace towards us. And so we just ask that you see the gratitude of our hearts. And Father, help us to never stop confidently approaching you like little children coming to a loving parent. And may our thoughts and words and actions reflect Christ in us. And Father, we look forward to seeing you face to face someday. Thank you for that promise. Amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Christian Crusaders Radio and Internet Ministry. We pray that today's gospel message will lift you up throughout the week to come. We invite you to remember a friend or loved one with a special memorial gift to Christian Crusaders. These gifts can be made in any amount and allow you to help share God's Word while honoring someone special to you as well. Please direct your gifts to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You may also donate online at christiancrusaders.org. Or you can call us at 1-888-693-2484. Information on donating can also be found on our website. Read or listen to past sermons, see photos of our staff, join our mailing list, view a new slideshow of our history. All this can be found by visiting us online at christiancrusaders.org. For a CD, cassette, or printed copy of today's program, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also direct your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. All sermons since Easter are now available on DVD as well. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and Associate Speaker on our program since 2005. Christian Crusaders has been broadcasting biblical truth every Sunday since 1936.